Lent, Week 2. Last week we began our Lenten journey by discussing the concept of wilderness and the calling of the same Spirit which called Jesus to step into that place of little distraction, to face three tests for postulation. We also considered what our personal wilderness experience would present us as we unpack our bags on a pilgrimage of introspection. This week I want to take further the concept of wilderness and our journey through it with faith, knowing that when life is lived faithfully, we, like those we'll hear about today, will leave an impressive legacy in our wakes. We may join them in ranks of spiritual giants. We've already heard a bit about Elijah today, and now on to Abram and Sarai, better known as Abraham and Sarah, two of God's children who in their later years were called by Spirit into a wilderness of their own, as story tells, without hesitation. Even in spite of unblessedness or barrenness, which to those around them marked them as less than. We find Abe and wife faithing into wilderness, Eremos, hoping that God would reveal their fuller purpose. God told Abram, "Leave your country, your family, and your father's home for a land that I will show you." Okay, listen to that again. The order. Pack, leave, and then I will show. Back to the text. "I'll make you a great nation and bless you. I'll make you famous. You'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. Those who curse you, I'll curse. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left just as God said, and Lot left with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran and set out for the land of Canaan and arrived safe and sound. At the time, the Canaanites occupied the land. God appeared to Abram and said, "I will give this land to your children." Abram built an altar at that place God had appeared to him. Now, let me just tell you, that's not it for the old fella. He moved again to the hill country east of Bethel, and again he built an altar there and prayed to God. Abram and Sarai stepped faithfully into the wilderness, we hear, with a sense of knowing that God would continue to inspire and grow them into God's desired fullness, not only bringing about name change, but to blossoming out of ordinary nomads to spiritual giants of faith. Hundreds and hundreds of years later, Abraham and Sarah's legacy of faith inspired those first disciples of Jesus to embolden their faithing, as we hear in Romans, as written by Apostle Paul. So how do we fit what we know of Abraham, our first father in the faith, into this new way of looking at things? If Abraham, by what he did for God, got God to approve him, he could certainly have taken credit for it. But the story we're given is a God story, not an Abraham story. What we read in Scripture is Abraham entered into what God was doing for him, and that was the turning point. He trusted God to set him right instead of trying to be right on his own. That famous promise God gave Abraham, Paul continues, that promise that he had and his children would possess the earth, was not given because of something Abraham did or would do. It was based on God's decision to put everything together for him, which Abraham then entered when he believed. This is why the fulfillment of God's promise depends entirely on trusting God and his way and then simply embracing him and what he does. God's promise arrives as pure gift. That's the only way everyone can be sure to get in on it. Those who keep the religious traditions and those who have never heard of them. For Abraham is father of us all. He is not our racial father. That's reading the story backward. He is our faith father. We call Abraham father not because he got God's attention by living like a saint, but because God made something out of Abraham when he was a nobody. Okay, so within the first 15 minutes of worship, you heard a Lenten moment talking about Elijah. And now you've heard about Abraham and Sarah, Scripture's spiritual giants. They're all powerful examples of those willing to follow Spirit's call in their lives. Now, David shared a bit of the story of Elijah earlier today, and now you have been reminded of Abraham and his legacy, then interpreted by yet another great penning personality, Paul. These stories in some ways can be intimidating, seemingly out of our league, or more likely for the cynic, easily dismissed as the yarn spinning of folklore. "Ah, that's a nice story," we say. and then turn to our very human and often underwhelmed walk about town versus skirting the edge of our own wilderness. On treks of autopilot, really, giving little thought to how our choices, our faith walk, do indeed matter. But how we live and walk in faith does matter. It matters not only to you and those closest to you, but to any who tread in your wake. The greatest revelation to me as a student of Scripture and studying those shapers of spiritual history is God's use of ordinary folk to do the great work. As ready as the theme of God loves all of her children and that there is nothing God's children can do that would make him love them any less, is the theme that God created us, all of us, in his and her image, not the reverse. We may be limited by mortality and lack of omniscience and omnipresence, but when we realize our Creator not only fully understands us, but resides behind, beside, above, and within us, God's greatness can be achieved through us if we but have faith. With God, the meekest, the mildest, the red, white, yellow, blue, rainbow, boy or girl from down in the south of Alabama to the far reaches of a Tibetan mountainside has a grand purpose mixed in their personal possibility. And not one is greater than the other. For within each person is found God's greatness, unique, yet untapped until we allow Spirit to tap it. It's springtime eternal if we let God's light and Spirit shower upon our lives like a seed packet of possibilities. It must be planted, taken out of constraint, watered, fed, enlightened so as to burst forth. Are you feeling inspired by all these flowery words of inspiration? Great, fantastic. Like a foundation for a Gershwin melody or musical number by Rodgers and Hammerstein, something like I'm as corny as Kansas in August kind of stuff. I mean, even they were inspired, certainly. But it takes more than putting pen onto paper. It is putting that paper into action. Inspiration. Spirit's dwelling within you does little good if the inspired and amused does nothing with it. You have to be stirred and awakened and fed to stand up to the challenges of your mortal surroundings to do eternal work. Be bold and courageous and ready to fail and start over and then fail again and then start over again. As old Ralphie Emerson said, do not be too timid and squeamish about your actions. All life is an experiment. The more experiments you make, the better. What if they are a little coarse and you may get your coat soiled or torn? What if you do fail and get fairly rolled in the dirt once or twice? Up again, you shall never be so afraid of a tumble. The wilderness journey and the tests found within it may at times cause you to fear or to almost give up like Elijah. But God's Spirit is always on the ready to be with you not only on the journey, but in the tumble, ready to lift you back up again, to continue you on until what is your calling, your care of self and creation is expressed in your fullness in God's time. All that is required of you is to believe, act, continue with a love-charged hope and intent, actively faithing. Creative semantics, I know, to depict actively living out faith. Faithing like Father Abraham and Mother Sarah isn't just found in fairy tales, folklore, myths, and family history books. It is found in the teacher who inspired you to pursue the arts, the sciences, or theology. It is found in the heart and the words of a songwriter rolling in from out of town to share her knowledge through chords and lyrics. Faithing is found in those who gather in a town hall meeting to express their love of neighbor and country. Faithing is found beyond the country roads when a father teaches his son the art of masonry or tapping a maple tree. Faithing is found when a mother kisses her daughter goodbye and releases her into the care of a university. Faithing is found in an African village when an elder teaches the village youth how to draw water from a well. Faithing is lifting up one in need and knowing that one day someone's hand will be offered in the same way to you. Faithing is done when, for whatever reason, you awoke today and made your way to a fellowship that speaks of acceptance of all people. Again, I say all people. It is taking that bulb in September and planting it in a wilderness bed, awaiting its arrival in spring. It is taking those ideas of yours and faithfully planting them in your own wilderness bed, ready for a spring of your own. Yes, faithing in the wilderness is following God's Spirit forward into faith, wholeness, and full bloom. Faithing is not for spiritual giants. Faithing is what creates spiritual giants. Faithing left us the legacy of Elijah, Sarah, Abraham, Esther, Moses, Mary, Gandhi, Martin Luther, Martin King. Faithing well, as called by Spirit, will leave a fine legacy of spiritual giants, and one of those giants just may be you.